Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the SmackDown Somebody here on Inside the Ropes. It is Saturday, and the reason we're recording this so late is because Sandra was going home from Scotland, and then her internet died, and then her phone died, and now she's tethering on her husband's phone on a computer. We're barely hanging on, but she is here. She is, let's give her the full name, because she's taken all the names that nobody else can get. Sandra Ruth Wesseldyke-Reinstein. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Kenny. I'm really tired of everything breaking around me. But it's okay, because I'm here, and I have watched SmackDown. I did manage to watch SmackDown before the internet died. So, that's something. And I'm actually looking forward to talking about SmackDown. I was pretty annoyed yesterday when I was like, yay, I get to record about SmackDown. Oh, no, wait, I can't because Mr. Sandra was at work, so I couldn't use his phone. My phone is dead. A new phone is arriving in the mail today, sometime before 8 p.m. I'm hoping before I have to go to work because I feel very disconnected from the world. I have managed to see all the crazy wrestling news from yesterday, and it seems like I'm missing out on a whole lot that's been going on.
A lot is happening. But at the forefront of the happenings is last night. I was at a friend's house, and we were having some dinner, and just chilling out. And then I went to go home around 11 p.m., and I get a text from my mother, Big Fiona McIntosh, who was out on the lash having a drink, and said I should go down and join her. So I went down and met her and her pals, and she was on the soft drinks. You know, boring bastard that she was. But the funny thing was, so I go down there, and they're all like, oh, Fiona, if you were having a drink right now, we'd be causing it, you know, it'd be great, and I'm sure it would, but she refused to get drunk. But the good thing was she could drive me home. But she still has a lot of questions about the Facebook community, and why she is a subject on there. So that's the latest Fiona McIntosh updates. She didn't get drunk. She didn't flash anybody. I can't say I didn't do either of those things. But, you know, it was a good night.
I mean, what would a night be without one of you getting drunk and flashing somebody?
Exactly. And she was also she also spent a long amount of time explaining to me the atrocity that is cinnamon-flavored vodka.
Oh yeah, that's definitely a thing.
And it's bad.
That exists.
It is bad. So I had a couple of Jaeger.
It's not my preferred flavor of vodka. I love your mom though. She's so sweet. I was so glad I got to meet her when I was over in Scotland.
She's nuts.
Only
she could sit beside me as I'm drinking Jaeger bombs. Just going, have you got enough Red Bull in that, Kenneth? And I was like, yes, I have enough Red Bull in this. And she was like, right, well, I'm just checking. Shouldn't be drinking that Jaeger. Anyway. lots of wrestling news has been happening. Obviously, there's a big WWE news thing that we're going to cover at the end of SmackDown, because if we cover it now, most of the episode becomes obsolete.
Most of SmackDown is obsolete.
but before that, Austin Aries asked and was granted his WWE release. So Austin Aries has left the company. The PW Torch reports that he did not enjoy being part of the cruiserweight division. He wanted to be utilized elsewhere in the company, and he asked for his release. I've heard from people in the know that he was someone who was quite high maintenance to deal with, from a sort of, like, if you were a writer or if you had to book him, that he maybe wasn't like the easiest guy to deal with, but very talented guy. 39 years old, so not a spring chicken in the ring. But what did you think when you heard this? Austin Aries has decided to leave the WWE, as Michael Cole would say, and go on to other pastures. Are you surprised? What was your reaction?
Well, I mean, at first I got a text from a friend or a Facebook message when I was entering the liquor order at work. So I was on the computer for very legitimate reasons and might have had Facebook open another tab. But I got a message that said Austin Aries has been released. And I was like, what the fuck? I was really surprised because why would, you know, Austin Aries has been kind of a focal point of the cruiserweight division. And I was shocked. I mean, it's not something that I expected to happen. But then when I learned that he had asked for his release because of being dissatisfied, being a cruiserweight and that kind of thing, it actually made a lot of sense to me because the cruiserweight division, like, it almost seems like Austin Aries would be happier if he had remained in NXT as opposed to being part of the cruiserweight division, because at least in NXT, it feels like a living, breathing, growing product that does things and goes places and is relevant. The cruiserweight division just seems like this dead thing right now, right? Like, as soon as those purple ropes come out, it just seems like a signal, okay, we can tune out now. And that's not to say that the wrestling isn't good, and it's not to say that there aren't good things going on in the cruiserweight division. It's just everybody tunes out because nobody cares. I know that there are probably a few people who care, and I wish that I were one of them, but I'm just not. And I feel like WWE is so oversaturated that, you know, if they're presenting 205 Live, I mean, it might as well be called 205. Nobody's watching this show. And it's unfortunate. I think a lot of the problem is that the cruiserweights aren't presented any differently to the rest of the roster in terms of like their moves or their, you know, action or anything like that. They're just presented like, you know, some smaller wrestlers who have shittier storylines and they're separated and they're over here. So you can very easily just kind of tune out and not pay attention to them, which I think is a shame. And I mean, him going for the cruiserweight title and losing to Adrian Neville a whole bunch of times probably didn't help. And what has Austin Aries even been doing on TV recently? I mean, I haven't been watching Raw, admittedly, so I don't know. But I haven't heard anything that's like, oh, you need to see this great Austin Aries match.
Well, he's not wrestled since he lost at the last Raw pay-per-view, Extreme Rules.
Okay.
He had an appearance in 205 Live where he said that he was injured and he was going to have to reevaluate things. I don't know if that was storyline or whatever, but... I feel bad. I think that part of it is, and I understand that a lot of fans are like, you know, WWE should have treated him better and blah, 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 blah. But the problem is there's so many wrestlers and there's only so much time, you know?
Right.
And I think that where Austin Aries is in his career and what age he is and just where he kind of, I think that maybe this is an unpopular opinion. I think that the cruiserweight division was a pretty good fit for him. Because I just don't think that there is that many people that I would have taken off the main roster to replace with him. And that's nothing against him. It's just, and you know, the cruiserweight division, part of the reason the cruiserweight division isn't as relevant as it was in, say, WCW. Because when the cruiserweight division happened in WCW, it was like, you know, you had the main events, which was like Goldberg smashing somebody, or the NWO, or veterans like Randy Savage. So the cruiserweights were different to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But like, Seth Rollins does a lot of cruiserweight stuff. Cesaro does some cruiserweight stuff. AJ Styles does some cruiserweight stuff. Finn
Even
Balor.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah, like, so it's hard to differentiate. I understand why he's chosen to leave. I think it's probably the best decision for him, because had he stayed, he would have become a sort of regular fixture of the cruiserweight division and not really felt that big of a star. But I can't exactly say that I think WWE, you know, horrendously miscast him or anything.
I don't think they did. I think he was a good fit for the cruiserweight division. I think he elevated the cruiserweight division for sure. But I think part of the problem is just with the division itself and the presentation of the division. Like the fact that the cruiserweights aren't wrestling the guys on the rest of the roster. They're so segregated and they're so separate. And I think that's the biggest problem. Not that guys are being put in the cruiserweight division, but just the handling of the division itself, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does make sense. But the other piece of... So Austin Aries, where do you think he goes from here? Is there any thoughts?
I mean, I have no idea. I don't know what his aspirations are. I don't know if he'll, you know, maybe try and go back to Ring of Honor or something like that. I mean, I don't really know. If he is indeed injured or like wanting to take time off to heal some injuries, maybe he'll step away for a little bit, like take a few months off. I don't have any idea. I really haven't been able to read much about the situation.
Well, because I know he's got a little bit of a tenuous relationship with Ring of Honor, so that would probably be mended for him to go back there. I don't know what he's going to do. Yeah, The thing is, when you're 39, it's not like it's you've got tons of time left, you know. So he's maybe got
right.
5 years left in the ring. But, yeah, I wish him the best. I hope he does well. I know that the WWE run probably wasn't all that he had hoped it would be. But I just think, I think in hindsight, maybe he just got there 5 years too late.
Yeah, you know, that could be.
I can't believe we're fucking talking about this. Do you know who is going to be an interview subject on WWE 24 this coming Monday after Raw? Do you know who is finally, after all of their attempts to become a star, finally made it to the WWE Network?
I have no idea what this is.
Dixie Carter will be on
what?
The WWE Network because she is an interview
Why?
Subject for Kurt Angle's WWE 24 special.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to process that. Like, just why? I mean, I guess it makes sense because he worked for her for a long time, but...
And WWE have been advertising this.
Why the fuck? They have... Why? Why would you advertise something involving her? I mean, I guess it's getting people talking if you're talking about it, but I just don't see what kind of value she can add to anything, like, ever.
I was going to say something that I really shouldn't say. Anyway, I heard with a bottle of wine she offers quite a lot, but anyway, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, like, I'm not going to lie, her being on it makes me want to see it because I think she's kind of a car crash that's... But WWE did put out, like, a breaking news alert stating that WWE 24 will feature exclusive interviews with Kurt Angle, Dixie Carter, and Vince McMahon. There's the only time you'd see those three put in the same bracket.
Yeah, seriously. So what is this at 24 on? Kurt Angle's career?
Kurt Angle's comeback to the WWE.
Kurt Angle's comeback to the WWE. Interesting.
I mean, I'll be watching it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably going to be watching it. I won't lie.
Well, if you have the internet, you will.
If I have internet, if I can watch things again.
But yeah, so Dixie Carter, she's finally made it. She's in the WWE.
Carter on the WWE Network. I bet she's just like so excited about this. Oh, look, I'm maintaining some sort of relevance. No, you're not.
Now, also, I want to ask you something because maybe I have taken this too personally. Right, maybe I see this as a bigger problem than it actually is. So, Global Force Wrestling, who are now the new Impact Wrestling, formerly TNA Wrestling, formerly Total Nonstop Action, formerly NWA TNA, Global Force Wrestling, Sandra, have a new Twitter handle.
Oh, I did see this. Global Force Wrestling Wrestling?
GFW Wrestling.
I mean, isn't that the most Jeff Wrestling thing in the world, though? Like, isn't that exactly what you would expect from Jeff Wrestling?
But, is it just me that kind of goes, there was nothing else that you could have picked?
Why aren't they just GF Wrestling? Like, was that taken?
Let's find out. Twitter.
Find out for me.
GF. I mean, I'm assuming this is, I mean, if this is available, it'd be even better. Oh, that's Gaza Film Wrestling. We are Gaza Film Wrestling, and if you're not down with that, we got two words for you. They have 81 followers.
Nice.
They couldn't have just
I mean,
touch
Global
them.
Force Wrestling?
Okay,
yeah,
that's that
like.
One. So you want Global Force Wrestling? That's a very valid one. Global. I mean, somebody's got to have this. Global Force. Wrestling. Here we go. Nope! That one's available!
Global Force Wrestling is available.
Yep.
But they became GFW Wrestling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand the Global Force Wrestling is a long Twitter handle, but wouldn't you rather have it not be GFW Wrestling? I mean, it looks so Bush League. It looks so Bush League and ridiculous, and it's the most Jeff Wrestling thing in the world, and it just made me laugh because of course it's what they would do, right?
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Anyway, SmackDown Live. It's very difficult sometimes when that when
they've done G_F_wrestling.
I mean that's shite as well, but it's better than GFW wrestling.
At least it would be accurate.
Like, I tweeted out from our main account, I was like, can somebody over there please get it changed? Come on. Like, guys, it's not a big ask. But anyway, it's, so SmackDown Live is very difficult for when I say SmackDown Live in a sort of like energetic way, it's very difficult to not do SmackDown Live with King Ross and Pachiti. Remember that night I got pissed on a live stream? Anyway, you know, we do things.
Oh, that night that I called in and I had no idea what was going on because I'd never seen a live stream.
What was the song that was me and him in a crate? What did we say? Was it My Heart Will Go On?
I believe you were singing My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
Classic. Anyway, SmackDown Live is here from the Talking Stick Resort Arena. It wasn't bad enough to have Raw there. We had to have SmackDown there as well. The Talking Stick Resort Arena. Sondra, I mean, I know you don't give a fuck about names of arenas, but can you at least agree that's
not
a stupid
at all
name?
It's a stupid name for sure.
The
I
Talking
mean, I won't disagree with you
Stick
there.
Resort Arena. A stick that talks in a resort with an arena.
Yes. Yep. I think the Talking Stick Arena would be a less stupid name, but the Talking Stick Resort Arena is kind of what puts me over the edge.
Good. That's all I needed to hear. Happy 4th of July, Sondra. It's 4th of July SmackDown.
It is 4th of July SmackDown. I actually kind of quite liked the opening video package. It was cheesy as fuck, but it was like, hey, we're going to celebrate the 4th and we're going to have a party, and it was cool, and the women were just as important as the men in the video package, because they were like, we're going to have some flair and straight fire and all this stuff, and I was like, this looks like fun, this looks like it could be kind of a party episode, and then John Cena came out.
He does, he comes back, the free agent is here, lots of dueling chants for him, let's go Cena, Cena sucks. He talked about, you know, he's not a part-timer, he's an all-timer, means he can go to Raw, he can go to SmackDown, and if his time's limited, then he's going to go down in a blaze of glory, and he goes on, and then eventually he's interrupted by Rusev, who comes out looking like absolute sex.
Oh, he looks amazing.
Rusev is, like, if anybody's not seen the Instagram post that Rusev had the other day, it is outstanding. Where he basically is
him
in, like,
mowing the lawn in a Speedo and smoking a cigar.
He's so badass. I mean, he really
I
is.
I just love him. I mean, unfortunately, the segment was not so badass. It was the standard John Cena speech. Like, I hated this opening segment. And I wasn't down on John Cena coming back. I actually quite like John Cena, and I miss him when he's not around. I do. I don't miss stuff like this, though. Because all he did was he just, you know, he talks about America and freedom and all this stuff. And he gives a standard John Cena speech. And I like John Cena addressing the fact that people call him a part-timer. Because he really does seem to have, you know, kind of a stick in his craw about, you know, people calling him a part-timer and saying that he's on his way out and that kind of thing. And it makes him seem more motivated to do stuff. But it didn't really come across as motivated this time. It came across as just kind of, this is my standard speech and also America. And unfortunately, the focus being on, you know, like, hey, we're celebrating independence and blah, blah, blah. And this country was founded on, you know, every race, creed, religion, sex, having an equal opportunity, except for not when the country was founded, because that's totally not true, but whatever. Like, it going on and on and on about that just kind of makes me roll my eyes. And unfortunately, it kind of made Rusev's return not as glorious as it should have been for me, because he was just reduced to being like, but I'm from Bulgaria and stupid Americans. So now we have Jinder Mahal, Kevin Owens, and Rusev being like, I'm not from here, so you should boo me. And I just feel like they're capable of so much more. Well, maybe not Jinder, but like the other two are capable of so much more and capable of being such better characters that the whole, oh, stupid Americans, which is what they all say, it left me feeling very underwhelmed, and that's not how I should feel about Rusev coming back. And I was quite angry at John Cena about that. I mean, a flag match, I guess, fair enough. We've seen them do a flag match before, but I don't know. I was just not very happy with this opening segment. I don't know how you felt about it.
Sondra, I need to just explain one thing. Rusev is back!
Oh no, he's back and I'm super excited about that.
Whatever else happens, we have Rusev back in our lives. And I don't care what Jinder Mahal does. And I enjoy Kevin Owens, but I have my Rusev back. And that's all I've wanted for months and months and months.
And that is lovely.
He is glorious. Now, for me, I kind of agree with you to a point. Like, I was kind of like, okay, John Cena, standard promo. Like, this is the John Cena promo when he's not really that interested in what he's doing. Okay. And that kind of took me out of being interested in what he was doing as well. But then Rusev came out, and I was like, I'm in. Like, it's almost like I'm putting on the DVD sequel of their 2015 feud. Which, you know, it's not going to be as majestic as that, but do you know what? Like, as much as I'm not hugely into the kind of, like, you know, foreign evil heel thing that often, I like a flag match. I think they're fun. I like that Rusev is just, like, Bulgaria has thrown up on him. And and I hope he beats John Cena and kills America. That's my hope.
I hope so, too. I hope we get that flag again that has his face on it.
Oh, God.
Remember that? That was a good time. And I did like Rusev.
Your American dream is a lie, just like America is a joke. Yes!
Yes.
Rusev Muska!
And, you know, this is me going, yes, go Rusev, right? Which is probably not the response that I'm supposed to have about this. But I did like the fact that Rusev brought up that John Cena had all these return video packages, right? Like, for months it's been, John Cena's coming back on July 4th. And he was like, where's Rusev's video package? You know, I'm sitting there at home, hurt, rehabbing my shoulder, trying to come back. And where are my return video packages? Why is no one talking about me? So that's the part of Rusev's promo that I really liked, because that was compelling to me. And then it was just like, America. Ugh. I'm so tired of this whole stupid America shit.
But they're going to have a flag match at Battleground.
I don't remember how flag matches work.
Basically, the first.
Do you just have to get the flag?
Yeah, just get your flag.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, I'm really not that into a flag match.
The noise of Sondra being underwhelmed, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so they're going to have a flag match at Battleground.
I'm just excited about it. I'm sorry. Like, I wanted to be excited about Rusev versus John Cena, but it just.
We then go to Daniel Bryan backstage, Chad Gable comes in, and then AJ Styles is there, and there's going to be an Independence Day Battle Royal, but, you know, basically Owens points out that he's beaten both these guys, so why should they both be in the Battle Royal? So Daniel Bryan says, you know, he does have a point, so we're going to have AJ Styles versus Chad Gable right now, and the winner will get in to the Battle Royal. So we get AJ Styles versus Chad Gable. It's not a long match, it's about 8 or 9 minutes. And it is really, really fun.
Like, it's really
AJ
good.
Styles,
I mean, if my
Chad Gable's really good.
Yeah, if I needed my spirits lifted after, you know, an opening segment that did not make me very happy, this is exactly what I could have asked for, because I heard AJ Styles versus Chad Gable and was just elated. I was like, this is a match we get to see on SmackDown right now, and I'm so excited. And it did not disappoint. I thought Chad Gable looked amazing here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an excellent job. Like, after the match, even after AJ beats him, you know, helping Chad Gable up and then leaving Chad Gable to, like, be in the ring last, right? Kind of showing respect to the guy that you just beat but stood toe-to-toe with you. And then on Talking Smack, when, you know, they were asked what was harder, winning the Independence Day Battle Royal or facing Chad Gable, he was like, Chad Gable, absolutely. So AJ Styles is really putting over Chad Gable here, which does my heart proud, because I want there to be more focus on Chad Gable, because I think he's incredible, and I'm glad that people are finally starting to get to see it. Get in touch with us on Twitter, and I'll try to see the tweets when I have internet again. But I think, you know, same as some people got in touch about Chad Gable's match with Kevin Owens and said that they, you know, haven't been interested in American Alpha, but this seemed the closest to, like, being interesting that Chad Gable has done. And I'm just kind of curious if this new focus on Chad Gable is working for people who haven't been into American Alpha or kind of wondered why I've been so in love with them and so insistent that they're so good. But yeah, I really, really liked this match. I mean, some of the transitions and some of the holds and just everything about it made me happy, Kenny.
Poor Jason Jordan.
Poor Jason Jordan, indeed. Well, I mean, he's... I don't really understand what's going on with that. Like, are they splitting American Alpha?
Chad Gable did a Fallout video where he talked about, they've been put to the back of the line in the tag team division, so they're kind of taking opportunities wherever they can get them. He says that when Jason Jordan gets his chance, he will shine just as much. So they seem to still be together, but doing little separate things. So that's cool. I just want to see something from Jason Jordan because I like him too. So
no, he's also very good. I would really like him to be in some individual spotlight the way that they've been doing with Chad Gable. I think that'd be great, and I think that might help people be more invested in them as a team as well if they kind of get to know each guy individually.
I would concur. We then go from that to Mojo Rawley backstage, standing at a Hype Bros t-shirt. Zack Ryder comes in and says they're both going to be in the Battle Royal. And then Mojo kind of teases some dissension, saying, you made a big mistake. And then kind of smiled because he said, because I won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And Zack Ryder's like, that's because I wasn't in it. And tension with the Hype Bros. Good. Have tension. Don't be together. Ever. Stop being together. Split up.
I'm kind of into this story.
Yeah, because
I'm intrigued by it.
It's going to end with them splitting up, which is good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was at this moment that you knew that one of them was going to eliminate the other from the Battle Royal. And I did guess that it was probably going to be Mojo Rawley, which when Zack Ryder was coming back and looked like he had kind of Ryder would be the one to turn on Mojo. But now it almost seems like Mojo's turning on Zack Ryder, which is kind of compelling. Like, I won't lie, I'm kind of into it. I don't know. I like more serious Mojo Rawley having to examine the fact that he's been losing and try to figure out where to go from here. And, you know, his winning the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and then not doing anything on television is actually being turned into storyline fodder, which I like. They're not just ignoring the fact that winning the Battle Royal meant absolutely nothing. Like, they're actually calling it out and making it part of a story, which I think is a lot more compelling.
I like that Zack Ryder's back, and I look forward to him not having to interact with Mojo. we go to Carmella. She's out with James Ellsworth. They, are again kind of bragging about the Money in the Bank win. There's going to be a Carmella-bration. And then, Carmella said something like, she said she thanked the Rolling Stones and said, you can't always get what you want, and that's true unless you are her. And then Naomi comes out to interrupt. Her belt now lights up, which is glorious. And
I love the glow belt, by the way. Like,
so good.
Before my internet died, I saw people talking about it in the community.
Who's talking to me in the community, Kenneth?
Right. But I saw people in the Facebook group talking about the glow belt, and some people were like, it looks chintzy, da da da. No, it doesn't look chintzy. It looks amazing. Amazing, even. And I love the fact that Naomi's been able to add her own touch to it, right? Like, I don't think it was in our Facebook group. I think someone was saying, like, oh, well, people are complaining about a butterfly belt. And I felt like, yeah, because a butterfly belt, like, this is Naomi's character being infused into the title that she fought for and holds. And I love it. I wanted the belt to glow from the moment I saw Naomi was champion, right? So I expected it just to be the side plates that glowed, but I kind of like this a lot.
Yeah, it's cool. She comes in and she kind of stands up to Carmella. She addresses James Ellsworth by saying that, somebody else has got something to say to you, and it's Daniel Bryan. He comes out. Phoenix gives him a great ovation. He lives in the city, so not hugely shocking that he gets a great reaction. And also he's Daniel Bryan.
And also he's Daniel Bryan.
Then Daniel Bryan bars James Ellsworth in the arena, and Ellsworth laughs like, however will I get back in? And then Bryan's like, I'm also fining you $10,000, and you won't get a paycheck for 30 days because you're suspended. And then Ellsworth is forced to leave, and it was great. Bryan giving James Ellsworth comeuppance is truly one of my favorite things of the week.
Yeah, no, I love it. I was surprised by the suspension aspect of it, because apparently they're going to have James Ellsworth off TV then for 30 days, right? Because, I mean, the final stipulation is if you break any of these rules for any reason, then Carmella will be stripped of the Money in the Bank briefcase. So then Carmella's like, go, get out of here. I don't want you to cause me to lose my briefcase again.
It's a good story.
But I don't know, like, it's a good story. I was kind of surprised that they're taking him off TV for so long. It kind of makes me wonder if he's going to come back or what they would do with him coming back. Like, what do you do with James Ellsworth if he's not with Carmella? Is he going to be back with Carmella? Is she going to have found a new lackey? But I'm kind of into it. And the thing is, like, I like the Carmella Ellsworth dynamic. So I'm actually a little bummed that he's not going to be on TV with her because he's so annoying and makes her so hateable as well. But no, I like Daniel Bryan giving him comeuppance. Daniel Bryan's being like kind of overzealous here. Like, he's being kind of a dick to them. But also, they were talking about his daughter and whatnot, and Daniel Bryan's not going to take that, so.
Yeah, it was a fun segment. The crowd loved it. And Ellsworth is now going to have to take the comeuppance for the next 30 days. That takes us into Naomi versus Lana for the SmackDown Women's Championship, the final deciding match, because, you know, some of us thought that maybe Lana deserved one more shot, and obviously last week she talked about her shoulder being up. But she was defeated here in 10 seconds with a submission win for Naomi. Right after the match, though, Tamina came in. She basically was like, you know, telling Lana to get up, and then they leave together. So Tamina seems like she may now be the bodyguard for Lana, and Naomi gets another victory. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I just laughed when this went as quickly as it did, because this is exactly how I expected the match. Well, not expected, but this is exactly how the match should go, really, because Naomi and Lana are not on an even playing field. Lana is not as good as Naomi. Lana should in no way beat Naomi. Lana shouldn't even have gotten as much offense on Naomi as she did at Backlash, or Money in the Bank, I mean. Not Backlash, Money in the Bank. Like, it annoyed me how competitive that match was. And then last week when Naomi beat her so decisively in like a minute or whatever, I was like, okay, good, this is done. And then her shoulder was up and I was like, why do we have to do this again, right? And so this was just kind of proving, like, no, we really didn't have to do this again. There is a decisive winner. Naomi is the decisive champion. There's no doubt in our minds she is better than Lana. And I think it puts Lana in an interesting position because, like, it definitely doesn't do much for having Lana be a serious competitor who's ready to win the title. But I think that's okay. Like, I think that's an okay story to tell because she's not ready and she's not as good as some of the other women in the division, right? And I think Lana having been taken down a peg or two because she came in and was like, I'm going to be amazing and I'm going to be the most ravishing champion, or the first ever ravishing SmackDown Women's Champion, which is not a thing. And now, you know, no, you're not, because you're not as good. And the whole Tamina dynamic, it doesn't seem like Lana wanted to be with Tamina. It seems like Tamina is instigating this partnership with Lana for some reason, and I don't really know why. What I'm guessing is that we're just going to get like a Poundland version of Eva Marie and Nia Jax in NXT, which was fantastic, except for, you know, Tamina's not as good as Nia Jax, and Lana doesn't have the charisma of Eva Marie. So, which I can't believe I'm saying, but like, Lana is not as good at this as Eva Marie was. Like, Lana's a better wrestler than Eva Marie, but in terms of being the character that it seems like where they're going is, you know, Lana is undeserving and maybe she'll want to keep getting opportunities, kind of the story that they told with Eva Marie in NXT. I could see them doing that with Lana, having her, you know, kind of like worm her way into opportunities or worm her way into storylines that she's not necessarily ready for, but she could use Tamina to her advantage. I don't know. Like, I'm guessing that's where it goes from here. I don't want Lana in the title picture anymore because no, I think we're ready for someone else versus Naomi, and maybe that person can be Charlotte, and maybe that would be better.
See, for me, like, I, as people know from listening to this, I really enjoyed the Carmella story. I'm done with the Lana story now. Like, I'm like, I like her. And I like her music, and I can never get it out of my head when it's on.
It's very catchy.
Anyway, however, like, so see, when this match finished, I was kind of like, oh, good, okay, now we can move on. There's no part of me that goes, oh, I'm now interested in where Lana goes from here. Because what this has done is basically kind of go, Lana's not very good. Lana continuously gets beat very easily. And I don't know what story you tell after that. And then you put Tamina with her, who is challenging.
Atrocious.
She's atrocious. Yeah, I was going to say she's it's challenging for her to be good, but she is atrocious.
They are the two worst wrestlers in the SmackDown Women's Division, and now they are together. I don't anticipate great matches.
So, like, is Tamina supposed to prop Lana up? Is Lana supposed to make Tamina more interesting? Like, I feel like it's like somebody sat down and gave you some, like, chicken that's off, and then they went, here's a glass of curdled milk to go with it. And you go, oh, great. These two together are exactly what I need right now. Just put Lana with Rusev. There's nothing wrong with being an attractive, effective valet. There's nothing wrong with it. It's good to have
the only reason I don't want Lana with Rusev is I feel like he might be better off without her at this point.
Yeah, for him,
like, I don't know how much value she adds to him right now. I think for her, she is better with him, but I don't know that he is better with her, and I like him better than I like her, so there you are.
Take that for what you will, ladies and gentlemen. But I hope Naomi gets to move on now to, like, Charlotte or Becky or somebody else, because she's actually pretty decent, so we'll see.
And I feel like there's still some unfinished business between Naomi and Charlotte, and Naomi actually did say on Talking Smack, right, they asked, you know, who would you like to face at SummerSlam for your title, and she did say Charlotte, so I'm hoping that that means something somewhere.
I thought for a second you were going to go, I think there's some unfinished business between Naomi and Lana. I'd be like, no!
No!
There's
there
no
is
more
no
unfinished,
unfinished
business! The business
that
is finished!
That business is done!
Oh. Anyway, backstage we get Nakamura about to be interviewed when Baron Corbin shows up and hits him with a briefcase, and then
I keep forgetting that Baron Corbin holds the Money in the Bank briefcase.
He is the less prominent briefcase holder of the two.
Which I kind of love, actually. Like, everyone's talking about Carmella, right? Everyone's talking about Carmella. Everyone knows Carmella has the Money in the Bank briefcase. But I just kind of keep forgetting about Baron Corbin. I don't think that really spells great things for Baron Corbin, but I kind of like that the women's division is more a focal point than the men's.
Big Baz of Corbs. Basically Nakamura gets some strikes in, referees intervene, keep them apart. I was quite shocked that this was the only appearance of Nakamura on the show. And I'm intrigued. I don't know if Baron Corbin is the best opponent for Nakamura right now. Mainly because Nakamura, like, kind of got some fire with the Money in the Bank stuff. And I'm intrigued by what they do at Battleground, which I assume is going to be a thing.
Most likely. I mean, it seems that way. I don't know what else you would have done with Nakamura on this show other than have him be in the Battle Royal, but if you wanted AJ Styles to win the Battle Royal and face Kevin Owens, then Nakamura would have had to lose the Battle Royal. So
true, yeah. So maybe less is more. But I'm more like, you know, I want Nakamura doing something good at SummerSlam. Like, I will throw my toys out of the pram if he's not in a good position in that show. I need my boy, Shince, to be repping on SummerSlam in a good role, in a good match. I need that, Sondra. I need that.
The words you just said, Kenny. You need your boy, Shince, to be repping on SummerSlam. What? Who are you right now?
Well, funny you should mention that, because up next is the hip-hop battle. Between the New Day and the Usos, with Wale
rap
as...
Rap battle.
Yeah, hip-hop rap battle.
Mm-hmm.
So Wale is going to be the host for the rap battle. The Usos come out, and they had a bunch of guys wearing their Day One is H shirts. The New Day come out with a bunch of what looked like Adam Rose's posse.
Seriously, the Rosebuds were back for one night only. The Rosebuds accompanied the New Day. They didn't mention this or anything, but those were basically just Rosebuds.
And I was gutted we didn't have a Braun Strowman cameo.
Right? He could have been a gladiator again. Bring back Simon Gotch, you know? Like.
So we have the rap battle, and, you know, the there's some really good lines, like, you know, The Usos do the thing where they were saying, you know, you want to be PG and don't get all rated like your boy Xavier Woods, which was a great line.
It was a great line. It's just that, like, those videos were not R-rated. They were more than R-rated, for sure. Which was my only, like, that was my issue. I was like, well, I mean, like, it's not really rated R so much as it would be X, but okay, I take your point. Calling him the new rated R superstar is pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're never going to be able to say on national TV on their kind of PG show an X-rated thing. Because, you know, I don't
right.
know, maybe kids will look at the internet or something. Xavier Woods had a great line about Jimmy Uso saying that, you know, he wasn't relevant till his wife put him in Total Divas, which was amazing. And then Xavier Woods told them to get back to carrying their bags for Roman. And it caused a shoving match. And then Wale decided to disqualify the Usos and give it to the New Day, which people booed because the Usos were actually just as good as the New Day were at this.
I thought the Usos were better than the New Day at this. I mean, the only thing the Usos did wrong was they repeated lines a couple times, which was weird. And I wasn't really sure why they were like repeating their lines. I guess maybe they just had to get back in the flow of things or something. I'm not sure. But I thought the New Day weren't great at it. Like, Biggie was okay. But
I liked them. I thought they
like
were
some of their stuff. I thought they were right, but they didn't really rhyme, and some of their stuff was kind of off. And I don't know. I thought the Usos did way better than the New Day here. If they wouldn't have gotten disqualified, because the rules were keep it PG and don't touch the merchandise. So of course the Usos actually laying hands on the New Day caused the disqualification, because you're not supposed to actually shove each other or anything like that, and they did. So they broke the rules. But I thought the Usos won hands down. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I just thought they were both really good. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good segment. I thought the rap battle was really fun, much better than I thought it was going to be. I thought they both got in some good lines on each other, and it made me more into the New Day and Usos should. So, job done, I guess.
Yeah, mission accomplished. I mean, I was surprised they let some of the stuff fly, actually.
Yeah.
I was glad they did, because it made it a lot more interesting.
And obviously the rated R one apparently was not cleared because it was not on the YouTube clip or on any repeat versions of the show.
It was on Hulu.
Was it on the Hulu version? That must have
Yeah, that's out. How I watched SmackDown. So.
That must have went out straight away, because it's not on the YouTube clips or anything. They've removed it from it.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, it goes in the chronological order, so it's not like it's like they've just... They cut it, it's just not there. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it is on the Hulu version, because that's how I watched SmackDown, and I did see the line, so.
Go and watch it where you can, folks, before they take it down from Hulu. Randy Orton's walking backstage, he's going to be out next. Speaking of booze, Aiden English is in the ring, and he's singing as badly as he always does. And
I love him.
You can love him. That's perfectly fine. He sings as he always does,
singer.
Like this. But Randy Orton interrupts him. Orton comes out. Basically, Aiden English hits Orton with a mic twice. And then they have like a brawl. And then they have a match. And Randy Orton goes absolutely fucking bush. And starts like smashing Aiden English with the steps. Rolls him back in, gives him an RKO, and then Jinder and the Salsa Singh brothers come out. Jinder Mahal talks about the USA being the home of prejudice and ignorance and disrespect and blah, 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 blah.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah, true. But he said that all the fans, he was going to put all the fans in a Punjabi prison if he could and teach them respect and beat tolerance into them. So... Jinder's a Trump supporter, apparently. And he said he was going to destroy this once great legend at the pay-per-view. And then Randy Orton cut him off, called him a jackass, and that was the end of the segment. Randy Orton showed a lot of fire in this whole thing, I thought, with Aiden English and with Jinder. So, for me, it's one of those things that it's a shame that like Randy Orton only gets his sort of like fire and... like, good stuff out when he's just been put into a thing that's so uninteresting, which is the gender thing.
I mean, this story is still not compelling. I quite liked the Aiden English brawl. I liked Aiden English hitting Randy Orton with the microphone and, you know, getting angry and wanting to, you know, get one up on Randy Orton and try and have retribution for last week's RKO where, you know, during the ad break, Aiden English was just sort of shooed away. So that was the part of the segment I liked. I kind of tuned out for the gender stuff, and I'm just so not into this story.
Do you know why, though? Because I think that whether people like Randy Orton or not, I think that he is at least showing some sort of, like, he's showing something. You know, like, he's hitting Aiden English with steps, and he's going mental, and he's getting angry. But then with Jinder, it feels like Jinder just comes out every week and cuts the same promo. And there's no
fire. The exact
fire.
Same promo.
Yeah, it's just like, there's nothing there. And
again, it doesn't feel like a personal issue between the two of them so much. And it should, right? Like, because the whole thing is supposed to be like, Jinder, you attacked my family, and now I care about that for some reason. And it doesn't feel like that. It just feels like, so I'm not from here because I'm pretending to be from India, and also you're Randy Orton and Punjabi prison, and yeah. Like, it just, the story itself is so flat. Like, I really, really wish that they would have gone the Legend Killer angle, right? Like, and him, if he's saying, you know, I'm going to kill, like, or I'm going to, what were his words that you said? Like, he's going to, did he say he's going to kill this once great legend or something?
He's going to destroy this once great legend.
Destroy this once great legend.
He's the one great superpower in WWE.
I just feel like if they would have gone the you were the legend killer, but now I'm going to kill you angle instead of the boo India angle, I think it would be a lot more compelling. And they didn't. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, he's Canadian, so, and that's part of why it doesn't hit, right? Is we know that he's Canadian, but
it would be like Sandra just doing an angle where she's from Scotland. It's like she might watch Still Game a lot and say the word shite, but she is American.
But I am American, and it just—I don't know. Like, the story is just not hitting for me, and I find it very hard to, like, Randy Orton, you're not wrong. He is showing fire and he is seeming motivated lately, but I guess I just also have it in my head that, like, okay, so this week he seems motivated, but it's Randy Orton. Track record and history prove that this will not last. And
oh, yeah, I don't know.
I just want this to be done. I just want Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal to be done. I mean, I'm as glad as the next person about the car crash Punjabi prison match actually happening again. I don't expect it to be good. Maybe it will. Maybe they'll pull something out, because I mean, I didn't expect their backlash match to be good, and it ended up being good.
Do you think Kali's gonna come back? Honestly,
I doubt it.
If he comes,
but if he does, I know how excited you'll be.
I think even you would pop.
Oh, I would absolutely pop for it.
Well, apparently Randy Orton is going to, spoiler alert, Randy Orton is going to be taking a couple of weeks off after Battleground, so, you know. But I do think, and I know that it's probably going to seem like I'm biased because I don't have that much of a problem with Randy Orton. I think Jinder's awful. But I do think that Orton has done the majority of the interesting work in this rivalry so far.
I kind of disagree.
But that, like, but I mean, even like, I mean, like, you know, when did you tune out to this? When Jinder was talking? Like, Jinder's just done the same thing.
Yeah, because Aiden English wasn't on screen anymore.
But like, at least
I'm not lying. That's why I was compelled by the first segment. I love Aiden English. I was excited by him.
At least Randy Orton is doing different things. At least he is, you know, showing some fire. At least he's causing some chaos. What is Jinder doing? He's just cut the same promo for the last 10 weeks.
Yeah, he has. And that's a problem. I think the presentation of Jinder and the shock value of Jinder is what made me sort of intrigued by this in the first place. And I still think it was the most compelling part of the story, but now it's just, it's on repeat, right? Like, it's just the same thing over and over and over. And it's like, it's Jinder and the Singh brothers. And I still like the presentation of Jinder with the Singh brothers, but something needs to change, because wrestling storytelling only works when it changes and adds something week to week, right? It's not just step A all over and over and over and over again. We need to get to steps B, C, and D eventually. And I'm really hoping that after the Punjabi prison match is done, that maybe Jinder will actually do something different, because we're stuck in a rut, and that rut is named Randy Orton, and it needs to be done.
I would say the rut's Jinder Mahal, but they both need to be out. Like, Randy needs to be out of the title picture, and Jinder needs to be off the roster. Or put somewhere else. Or just, like, put
off
him...
off the roster is a bit harsh.
Put him on... Well, no, but it's not. Like, he's been given this, like, huge chance, right? He's been given this monumental opportunity that other guys would kill for, and he has failed to deliver. He has not got any better in the ring, really. I mean, he's fine. You know, when he was on the conference call a few weeks ago, he said, you know, when he was off in the indies, he was main eventing every night. And I'm like, is this the result? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm pretty sure that anybody who's listened to this podcast who goes to local wrestling shows in their area can find someone in their roster that's more compelling than this. Easily. His promos haven't got any better. He's not delivered any new material. It's a lazy routine. And the most interesting thing about him are his salsa boys.
I do like the salsa boys.
And I like them a lot. And I just think it's like, he's been given like such a huge opportunity. And do you know what? Of course he should take it. Like, I'm not saying that he should be like, no, I'm not going to take this. And I think I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I just think this is dull. It is so dull. Dull, 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 dull.
Oh, it's very dull, and something needs to change.
But you know what?
Sure. I think that's where we both agree, is that this needs to change.
And you know what? If we're going to go out, let's go out with a Punjabi prison bang. Why not?
Why not?
Ty Dillinger's backstage. He is confronted by Tanae Young, which is Tyler Breeze in drag, and he is possibly the hottest woman that is a man dressed in drag ever. Like, he looks...
Yeah.
He just looks... Anyway...
He looks incredible. You know what my favorite detail of this is? Tanae Young and Renee Young had the same makeup for the day.
So he
it was the same palette.
He interviews Ty Dillinger, and Ty's like baffled by this. And we've got Fandango behind him in some sort of like, you know, YMCA gear. As if he's just...
He was in construction man gear.
Yeah, he was the construction man from YMCA. And, And, you know, he talks about trying to win the match, and then Tanae asks about Breeze.
Well, because Tanae Young wants to know what his strategy is exactly, because he's trying to get the inside scoop.
Of course. And then Tanae asks about Breeze Angle, and then Ty Dillinger tries to, like, basically show them that, like, they would have to face each other. And then Ty said that Tanae was a 10. He then said, bye, Fandango. But then the best part of the whole thing is they do this thing, and as soon as it finishes, it cuts right to Renee Young, who's just baffled, and even the audience in the arena laugh. Like, it's so well done.
It's so good. I love that when Fandango comes up to Tyler Breeze, he's like, do you think you knew it was us? I barely knew it was us. Just, I don't know, everything about this. I love Breezango. I think they're so funny, and they're so well used in situations like this. Like, they don't need to be the tag team champions to be relevant and an important part of the division.
You can tell that a lot of the stuff they're doing, they have the input in. You know,
absolutely.
It's not that, like, they're getting told, oh, here's what you can do this week. And they're very funny, and they're very charming, and they're very likable, and they're just the right amount of stupid and sincere that makes it work.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel forced. It still feels like it's just a naturally funny thing, and I love it. And I like seeing Ty Dillinger get to interact with them, too, because it puts Ty Dillinger in our minds. It shows that, like, he can do a backstage interview. He can do a promo just fine. And I like him reacting to, like, oh, so we're actually doing this. Okay, sure, I will be interviewed by Tanae Young. Why not? And you're right, Renee's face after the fact was hilarious. She was like, I don't even look like that. Like, my hair, like, what? She was just so baffled. And Renee's very professional, and Renee has seen a lot of weird shit where people try to crack her, and it doesn't work because she's always very good at just moving on, and she couldn't do it. She was just like, what in the world is happening in my life right now? But yeah, I don't know. I loved everything about this.
Then Renee talks to Mike and Maria Kanellis. I do love that when Mike and Maria Kanellis were on Talking Smack, that Daniel Bryan brought up that his name was Mike Bennett, and why did he change it? I like that detail very much. But we have them being interviewed, and then there's like a crashing sound, and it cuts away to Sami Zayn, who's stretching. He's like, I'm so sorry. This is 2 weeks in a row. I'm really sorry I interrupted you. I really like your message, the message of love. He quotes Huey Lewis in the news. And then his music hits and he's like, oh, sorry. And then he leaves. Mike goes in for the kiss. Maria's raging. She doesn't want to do it. The moment's been ruined. This really worked for me. The whole thing. Mike and Maria The Message of Love, Sami Zayn, The Klutz That Interrupts, it completely works for me.
It's just, it's prime dorky Sami Zayn, and it's prime assholes being in love. I mean, I still think it's funny that, like, being in love is their heel gimmick, right? Like, boo love, boo happiness, boo marriage, that's the WWE. But, I don't know, dorky Sami Zayn interrupting them just makes my heart sing. Because he's so good at this, he's so perfect at it, and I love that... I don't know, like a lot of, because I've loved Sami Zayn forever, right? But a lot of people say he didn't have a character, and now he is kind of getting a character. And even if that character is like Klutz and dorky guy who over-explains everything, I mean, I love that because it makes me relate to him. I'm kind of curious if people are liking dorky Sami Zayn, because for me, I find it completely endearing, and I like him interrupting Mike and Maria as well, like. I'm kind of intrigued by Mike Bennett or Mike Kanellis versus Sami Zayn because you can tell that he's going to want to get his hands on him for interrupting his moments of love with his Maria and everything. And they're so insufferable, Mike and Maria are,
that
you kind of want
them
to be interrupted. Yeah. They're atrocious humans. They're so irritating. And so I don't know, the whole thing works for me and it's fun and it's kind of cheesy and fun and cheesy things in wrestling always make me happy. And then, you know, him hearing his music being like, oh, I need to go. And then just like running off. I don't know. I love it all.
Yeah. Dorky Sami Zayn is my favorite. Independence Day Battle Royal for a shot at the US title at Battleground. We have AJ Styles, The Ascension, Breezango, Jason Jordan, The Hype Bros, Ty Dillinger, Eric Rowan, Dolph Ziggler, Luke Harper, Sin Cara, and Epico. Breezango are still in their costumes from earlier because, you know, they've got to commit to the disguise.
Of course.
And the match is good fun. There's, you know, a lot of jobbers in there, but we get the moment where Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder square off.
So wait, Epico was in it and Primo wasn't?
Primo's injured.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah. But...
So that rumor of them asking for their releases, not true then?
No, they did ask for them. They've just not got them yet.
Oh, okay.
So... I mean, I can't imagine why you wouldn't give it to them, but yeah. But we do get the bit eventually where the Hype Bros end up eliminating Eric Rowan, and then Mojo Rawley falls up by tossing Zack Ryder over the top rope to eliminate him. Now, what I like about this, what makes me laugh about this is that what is going to happen, without question, is Zack Ryder's going to be the heel, and Mojo Rawley's going to be the babyface. But Mojo Rawley is 100% the heel, without question. Here. He's the one that chucked his partner over the top rope. Not Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder got him in the fucking match.
Yeah.
But.
That's true.
But I'll tell you what it's going to be. It's going to be Zack Ryder turns on Mojo because Zack Ryder's the arsehole. Sorry guys. I am 100% of the mindset that Zack Ryder's so likable. And like he's got the song and he's got the catchphrases. And just let Zack Ryder be Zack Ryder. That's all we need.
That would be ideal. I mean, it seems like they're telling maybe more of a nuanced story than just Zack Ryder turns on Mojo Rawley. I want to have hope that it's going to be more than just Zack Ryder turns on Mojo Rawley because he got chucked out of the Battle Royal. I want it to be more of a slow burn situation because I'm actually like, I'm not even ironically into this. Like, I am actually into the Hype Bros split, which I never thought I would be. But for some reason, it compels me. So I'm going to go with it, right? And I don't want it to be just Zack Ryder turning on Mojo. Like, and I don't necessarily think it will be, but I mean, it might be, and you're probably right.
I hope you're right, Sandra. I hope you're right. It comes down to AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, and Ty Dillinger's the final three. Kevin Owens is on commentary.
Isn't it more compelling that Mojo Rawley's, like, having this internal battle, and maybe he would actually be sort of heelish and have more of an edge to him, and, like, maybe Zack Ryder could be the babyface. You're going to end up being right. But I just feel like there's a better story to tell with Mojo Rawley, maybe not even entirely turning heel, but
I just think Mojo Rawley is Zack Ryder. Mojo Rawley is a heel, as a human.
Yeah.
Like that kind of person. Like the jock, American high school jock guy. That's a heel.
Yeah. Which I feel like he could be going heelish right now. And I'd love if we saw a heel Mojo Rawley just to see what that looks like. Like we've still Zack Ryder. It's, you know, I think we're past heel Zack Ryder.
Yeah, give me heel Mojo Rawley, babyface Zack Ryder, and I'm on board. But we come down to a very good final three in this match. I loved when Kevin Owens sat down for commentary, and when Tom Phillips tried to speak to him, and he was like, "Sharp, sharp, sharp, don't speak to me, sharp." It was great. And coming down to these final as the final three, where it was really clever because it's all people that you'd want to see face Kevin Owens. Ty Dillinger got to look very good, but he was eventually eliminated, and it got down to Sammy and AJ Styles. But in the end, AJ Styles would be victorious in the match, and he would get the shot to face Kevin Owens. I thought the Battle Royal was... they paced it pretty well, and there's some good spots, especially with the Hype Bros stuff, and the final three being Ty, Sammy, and AJ, and I thought the result was good. So I... successful main event for me.
I was pretty angry that Luke Harper just got chucked out with no fanfare.
Right.
But other than that, the Battle Royal was fine. I just don't understand why we're not doing more with Luke Harper, because he is a fine specimen of a human, and I don't know why he's not doing anything at all of note, and that makes me upset. But other than that, I mean, AJ Styles was the winner that I thought was going to win the Battle Royal. I actually had an inkling because I'd heard that AJ Styles was on Talking Smack, and then I saw... advertised for Talking Smack was going to be, I forget who was all advertised, and then and the winner of the Battle Royal, and I was like, AJ wasn't advertised for that. Oh, he must win the Battle Royal. So I kind of knew going that he was going to win, but he would have been my guest to win it anyway, because they were setting up AJ versus Kevin Owens, we thought, at Battleground, and I'm sure that they will face each other at Battleground still.
Yes, so
in different hands.
Some of you will be noticing that sometimes in this podcast, Sondra does turn into a little bit of a robot, so I apologize. But I think your internet has held up very well for the majority of this.
I'm surprised it hasn't cut out completely, so I apologize for sounding like a robot or like I'm in a tunnel or something. I'm working with what I can. Exactly. It was either that or have to do it over cell phone, which would have sounded worse.
But last thing to talk about, obviously, I thought SmackDown was a thumbs-up show, incidentally. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, it was a thumbs-up for me as well. I thought it was really fun.
But then, last night, WWE returned to Madison Square Garden, the Mecca, their home. And surprisingly, AJ Styles faced Kevin Owens in a match for the US title, and AJ Styles won and is now the new United States champion. You can go to WWE's social media to see the video clips. AJ Styles no longer needs that Battle Royal because he is now the United States champion. What do you think about this title switch in the Garden?
I mean, it's definitely surprising. Is the last time, because I was trying to think about this last night, and I haven't actually looked it up to see if I'm right, but is the last time they switched a main roster title at a house show when Primo and Epico won from Air Boom when Evan Bourne got suspended?
It could be. I can't remember any since then. There may have been.
Because I can't remember any since then. I think that's the last time. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Obviously, the last big title change would have been Samoa Joe winning from Balor in NXT, but that's not main roster, so...
No, it would have been Shinsuke winning from Joe, wouldn't it?
Was that on a house show? Oh, yeah, that was in Japan, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Samoa Joe won from Finn Balor in Lowell, Massachusetts, but then Shinsuke won it from Joe in Japan at the house show. So in NXT, they've done this more often, and in NXT, it makes a little bit more sense why they would do it, because with NXT taping schedules, if they do a title change on an episode of NXT TV, then it's going to get out, right, because there are spoilers. So it always seemed like kind of a clever out that they would do it on a house show and avoid having spoilers, but also not have it be so predictable as, like, titles only change hands on a takeover. So to do this on the main roster with AJ Styles and Kevin Owens without any... like, Kevin Owens isn't injured or suspended that we know of, or, you know, anything like that. It's very shocking. I think it's cool. I like when stuff like this happens. It's unpredictable, and it will make it more, I don't know, it will make people more motivated to want to go to house shows because, hey, something could happen. Like, it might only happen every 5 years, but what if I'm there for that once every 5 years that something actually happens and a title actually changes hands? I think it makes it more exciting, and I like AJ Styles as US champion. I'm surprised that they did it. I'm not sure why they decided to do it at a house show. Maybe just to increase the prestige of a Madison Square Garden house show. I don't know. But I like it. I'm fine with it. I don't know. What do you think?
I really like it. I think Madison Square Garden is something that's not utilized as much as WWE should utilize it if they can. And I like it. When I was a kid, they used to do things like this. They used to have the title change hands in a house show sometimes, especially Madison Square Garden. Diesel won his first WWF title right after the 94 Survivor Series in Madison Square Garden. 1-2-3 Kid and Marty Jannetty won the tag titles in the Garden on a house show. So they've done this before, and I think it's good, and it mixes things up, and it also makes you think that if you go to a live event, that maybe something's going to happen, you know? And it's funny, when you watch the clip, you can see when AJ hits the forearm that the fans are sort of, like, programmed, well, he's not going to win. And then he wins, and they're all like, oh my god, like, he actually won! So I think it's good. I actually think what's good about it is that the Kevin Owens-AJ Styles feud needed something else, and maybe this is what it needed. Maybe it needed a jolt. And maybe the dynamic of Kevin Owens now chasing it might be more interesting than AJ going for it. I don't know. We'll see.
And now Kevin Owens can't necessarily call himself the new face of America, so maybe he'll just have, like, a reasonable gimmick and be dickhead Kevin Owens, which is what I want.
That could be it. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us today. We are going to be back later on this weekend on Patreon covering Canadian Stampede. A new classic ITR will be up as well soon. And then we'll be back with Retro Raw probably on Monday, realistically, with Saunders Internet. And then we'll be back to normal next week. David and I will also be on Patreon on Monday covering Great Balls of Fire. And we're also going to be covering a $50 Patreon request on the Greatest Matches Ever collection on the WWE Network for Sean Campbell. David and I will be doing that. Sandra, where can people find you on Twitter? Whenever you can get on there.
Find me on Twitter. Yeah, exactly. I've been off Twitter for like a week because I haven't been able to use my phone. But find me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW. Find Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985. And follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes.
That's where you can find us. That's where we'll be. She's been Sandra. I've been Kenny. We've been Inside the Ropes. AJ's the champion. Dixie's on the network.
What is happening in life? This is craziness.
Bye.
Bye.
I did your bye again, see? Bye.
You did. Bye.
We'll just keep doing it. Bye.
Bye. Rusev Udria. Rusev Machka.